Well, good morning.
We'll take a look at this wonderful passage and see what God has to say to us this morning. You know, we're talking this morning, and Nathan brought out with his analogy with the money. No matter what he did to that $50, the value was still there. I'm going to talk this morning about our identity or our position in Jesus Christ. How much grace do we really have? Am I trusting in who Christ said I am? And out of that, have the joy of talking to Him? Or am I trusting in something else? The message I'm talking about this morning, I'm speaking as much to myself as I am to you. You know, I'm still learning in this because God's Word is amazing as He reveals Himself to us believers. Are you a saved but largely unchanged disappointment to God? Or are you a non-condemned, adored, new creature in Christ, with Christ in you? How you view this question will drastically change everything about your life. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I. It is no longer the old Neil Hess who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. Do you believe it? It tells us that if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, what He did for us, we have been fused together with Christ. Fused with Him. Will you live your life defeated? Out of your own strength, trying to control your flesh, this body, living by the law, do this, don't do that, or trust in who God says you are on your worst day. Right now, are you resting in what God says about you? Am I going to be a miserable failure, always disappointing to God? Maybe someday I can be good enough and stop sinning and attain to be pleasing to Him. Or do I recognize that I can totally rest in what He's already accomplished for me on the cross of Calvary? I know I'll get to heaven, but sometimes it just seems I'm a grave disappointment to God. Or is this true? Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, on my worst day, I am Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, Colossians 1:27 also says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Now, God's bringing us into some knowledge. He's telling us a mystery, something that people didn't know before. But now He's bringing us into this mystery. And now listen to what the mystery is. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. He's there. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you've done today or going to do today, what you're going to do tomorrow or next year, you can't do something bad enough that disapproves God and how much He loves you. There's no condemnation, not even your own. That's how powerful the love of Christ is. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, that isn't true for you. If you haven't recognized God's greatness and your inability to save yourself, if you haven't turned to God and looked at His payment through the cross of Jesus Christ for your sin, then this isn't true for you. You need to do that. Because He alone has the power to forgive all your sin. There will be no condemnation for you, or me, or anyone else that trusts in His payment. No condemnation. You know, I used to live my life knowing I was saved and going to heaven, but then living my life according to the law. Do this, don't do that. Well, if I commit this sin, maybe God will zap me, or I'll get struck by lightning, or I'll have a car accident, or maybe that's why I got sick, because I sinned again last week and I'd done this sin again and I looked at that person, or I did this, or, you know, we live your life in total fear, thinking that God's going to somehow punish you. If I committed this particular sin, I had numerous sins plaguing my life at different areas, times, and I remember thinking, oh, I've done that sin again. Now God is really, I can't even look up to heaven to God anymore. He's so disgusted with me. And then after about 3 days, if I haven't done that sin again, then I thought, oh, okay, God's starting to, now God's happy with me again because I've been good for a few days. Just not realizing at all what God really did for me through His Son on the cross. Am I really seeing myself as a defeated Christian? Or as Christ living in me? You know, we call this unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. There's nothing you can do that takes you out of God's love for you. And that's why I thought it's great that we read this chapter in Ephesians, because it says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You know, He's speaking to believers here. He's saying, He's blessed us in Christ. There's no greater person in heaven or earth to be blessed by. In Christ. No one can take that away from you. You've been blessed in Christ. The greatest person, and He says there's every spiritual blessing. And you have to ask God, God, really? You mean every blessing? All of them that You've given me? You've blessed me with them? Yes, that's what He's saying. I've given You all these blessings. Wow, they're not tainted by the flesh and what I do. They're blessings God gives us. We know some of the blessings, like this love that He gives us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are some of the fruits of the Spirit that come out. We can read in Galatians 5:22. But that's not all the blessings. They're stored, it says, in heavenly realms. These blessings come from heaven itself, from God's character. These blessings are really out of this world, literally. They can't be taken from us or abused. They're engulfed with God's character. They're secure. They'll never be lost. God's blessings given to us. We've been blessed with them. Are you noticing how special you are to God that He would do this for you? Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6. It says here in chapter 1, verse 4, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with His pleasure and will." You know, God takes pleasure in adopting us. And then the last part of verse 6, "To the praise of His glorious grace, which He hath freely given us in the one He loves, in the Beloved." You know, He chose us in Him. We are special because God made us special. You know, think of this idea of being chosen. When you were in primary school, elementary school, and you were in second or third grade, and they lined you up in a team, and they said, "Okay, now we have two captains. We're going to choose who's going to be on whose team." And so they start choosing people. "Okay, I want that person. I want you. I don't want you. I want you." And, you know, I grew up and I was very timid, came from a farm and not mingled with people very much. And I was almost always the last person chosen in second and third grade. And so I didn't feel very special, you know. We don't want him. He's not very good at playing. He's clumsy and he can't do things. But, you know, imagine the person that was chosen first. "Oh, I want him. He's a good player. I want him. I want her." I was also thinking about, you know, what if Tony Abbott decided to go to church? And he looked at all the churches in Australia, and especially New South Wales, and he said, "Well, this week I'm going to go to Camden Haven Anglican Church." And we would think, "Wow, Tony Abbott, he chose our church to come to. Wow, that makes us feel a little special. Tony Abbott's going to be in church. We're valued." You know, I said in the morning service that I actually felt a little bit special because, you know, Nathan asked me to speak. You know, who am I? You know, what am I going to speak about? You know, but he asked me to speak. That made me feel a little bit special or valued. Now, he might regret it after this sermon here, but, but you know, God has looks down on earth and He says, "I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. You're valued. You're special. I want you. Come into my arms. I chose you." We're special because He made us special. And then it says He adopted us as sons. We have been brought into this special relationship through adoption. It's not our own merit, not our own doing, not our own working for it. We've been adopted into the greatest family. We have the greatest parents with the greatest privileges. Wow, adoption. We were serving the kingdom of this world, separated from God, and He's adopted us in. He says, "I want you guys." You know, imagine a bum, a guy laying in the streets, drunk every day, muddy, dirty clothing, smells, whatever. And imagine if the Queen of England came and said, "Hey, come on, come into my arms. You can come and live in the palace. And not only live with us, but you get all the privileges and blessings that all my other children get. I'm adopting you into our family, into the royal family." Imagine that. What would that do to that bum, a drunken guy? It would transform his life. But that's what God did for us. through the power of Jesus Christ, He adopted us into His family. You no longer have to live like a bum or a defeated person because we've been adopted in. Remember that this has nothing to do with how you feel today. Has nothing to do with how you felt. You feel, maybe you feel discouraged or depressed, or I did that sin again, or someone abused me, or I've been abused all my life. You know, what God is saying is that I think you're special, and I want you into my family. He has blessed us in the Beloved One. We are specially blessed in Christ. This has nothing to do with how we feel. It is favor given to us. We have it today. You are special because God made you special. Now let's look at verses 7 through 10. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." So we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed through His blood. You know, it's free for all, this redemption. But you know, what is redemption? What is this redemption talking about? Well, to explain it a bit, I'm going to tell you about my sister, my oldest sister. My older sister is addicted to coupons. She loves coupons, and in the stores in the States, a lot of them, not all of them, they put these coupons in newspapers and things and pamphlets, and you can go and you can cut out this coupon worth 50 cents. So if you take this coupon, you can get 50 cents off a bottle of milk, or you can get 50 cents off of a box of cereal. But sometimes they're extra generous and they put dollar coupons, 75 cents or a dollar, or even $2 sometimes. And she collects these, and she knows this one, and she has boxes of them separated, and she knows when she can use this one and when. And sometimes the store will say, "This week we have double your value on coupons." So if you have a dollar coupon, it's now worth $2. And so she takes these things, and sometimes they say, "Well, if you buy, you know, $50 worth, you get a free turkey," or something like this. And she takes the coupon, and sometimes she will buy like $50 or $100 of groceries and get it for 10% of the value. Like she's paying $10 for $100 worth of stuff because she has all these coupons. Now, if all the people did that, the store would go bankrupt. But she's very clever at it, and she's always bragging, "Hey, I got this free turkey, I did this, and I got this off." But what she does is she's taken this little piece of paper, this little coupon, and she goes into the store, and she gets her turkey or milk or cereal, and she says, "You know, well, I have all these coupons." And she gives this coupon, she redeems that, gives that, and she gets her free turkey, or free bottle of milk, or free cereal. And so that redemption, I'm giving you this paper, and I get this. It's been redeemed. This turkey's been redeemed by this little piece of paper. And you know, that's exactly what happened. God looked down on earth. He saw all of mankind separated from Him because of sin and unworthiness. And He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my precious, loving Son. I'm going to send Him to the cross, and His spilled blood on the cross is my redemption price because I love these people and I want you guys to myself. I have redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb." That is what redemption is. God loves us that much that He would do that in sending His Son for you and for me. we have been redeemed. Colossians 1:13 says, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we were separated from God, serving our God, Satan, mucking around in our sin, and God has sent His Son to redeem us and transfer us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Amazing what He did for us. We have forgiveness of our trespasses. They're all forgiven. There's nothing to be worried about. Nothing hidden from God. He knows what you did yesterday, last month, last year. He knows what you're going to do today. He knows the sins you're going to commit tomorrow and next month. And He says, I still love you. You're valuable. You're incredible value. You have incredible value in my eyes, God says. He lavished on us the riches of His grace. He just poured them out in abundance. There's nothing lacking in that. They're just given to us. He lavished them on us. We are valued because He says we're valued. And we are brought into a special relationship. And He reveals His plans, the mystery of His will. Amazing. Verse 11 and 12. In Him, in Jesus, we were also chosen, or we were made heirs, having been predestinated according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who are first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Wow, we have obtained an inheritance. You know, an inheritance is abundant, undeserved wealth. When you get an inheritance from someone, it's something that you get. You didn't work for it. You didn't labor. You didn't steal it. You just receive it. It's yours free. And that's what we received in Christ Jesus. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, he's asking a question here. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? The Holy Spirit's in there if you've trusted Christ. Now, if you didn't trust Christ as your Savior, you're out of it. So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. We're God's. We're secure. We're redeemed. We're adopted. We're His. You can't do anything to take yourself out of God's grip. Verse 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Excuse me. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Excuse me. Until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. We have received the seal of the Holy Spirit, and it is guaranteeing the inheritance that we now have and experience in full. We will experience in full when Christ returns for His bride, the church. Well, we received this promise of the Holy Spirit. It's guaranteeing us. It's our stamp of approval until Christ returns. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6 say, just on the next page, it says, verse 4, But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up and with Christ, He raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So God raised us up and He seated us with Christ. Our position right now, as you sit here, your position is actually with Jesus Christ. You no longer need to muck around worrying about your sin and failures. And Lord, maybe someday I'm here in the muck. Maybe someday I can attain to be acceptable to be in your presence. And God says, no. Right now, today, because not because you're such a great person, but because I made you great, because of the blood of the cross, He values us. We're seated with Him. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If God sees that you're valuable, He wants to be that intimate part of your life. He's waiting for you to just say, yes, Lord, I need to enjoy it. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and that is what some of you are. So verse 9 and 10 list off a bunch of sins and things people are involved in. And he says, that's what some of you actually were, but there's been a change. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Notice that it's in His name, in the name of Jesus Christ. This happened in Christ's name, and it's in past tense. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not something you need to work on, and maybe someday I'll attain to it, but it's already happened. Often we live our lives like a young prince that's believing. A young prince that's outside the castle, playing in the mud, eating worms and grubs, when all the time he could be inside in the fellowship of his family, eating the best food that can be offered. And we're like that sometimes. Not realizing or believing that the best food, the best living conditions are right there for us to enjoy with God. God is not in love with some future version of you. Not you tomorrow, not you next year. He loves and delights in you right now, today. If you don't believe this, these truths, then you're actually dismissing the power of the cross of Christ. There's no sin in your life today, nothing that has happened to you in the past that has more power than the cross of Jesus Christ, past, present, or future. Often as Christians, we try cleaning ourselves up to be accepted to God rather than seeing ourselves as being accepted, being loved, being valued. Remember, you are valued and seated with Him. Out of that relationship will flow amazing things in your life. You know, am I holding on to God, or is God holding on to me? There's a big difference, because if I'm holding on to Him, I'll fail. But if He's holding on to me, He never fails. And I'm going to finish up with this. On your worst day, when you feel bad, you wake up in the morning, your hair's like this. You don't even want to look in the mirror because, oh dear, things are so bad. I know when I wake up sometimes, you know, my wife says, oh, good morning. You know, oh yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this isn't conditional on how I feel. What I should do is I should say, yeah, I'm really seated with Christ. I have Christ in me today. I don't need to. It doesn't matter how I feel. It's what God says about me that matters. So on your worst day, God says you're clean because of the blood of the cross. You're holy. You're alive. You're forgiven. You're new. You're beautiful. You're accepted. You're complete. Your spirit indwelt. You're adored. You're chosen. You're adopted. You're intimately loved. You're smiled upon. You're planned for. You're protected. You're thought about. You're enjoyed. You're cared for. You're comforted. You're understood. You're given mercy, compassion. You're guarded. You're bragged on. God says, oh, look at my precious child. Look at my precious son, my daughter. They're valued. You're defended. You know, in Revelation, we hear that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. So Satan goes before God's throne like he did with Job in the Old Testament. And he says, oh, look at your servant, God. Huh. Look at Nathan. Ah, he sinned again. He did that sin. Look how bad your kids are. And God says, Satan, the blood of Christ covered that. When I look at Nathan, I look at the righteousness of my son, Jesus Christ. When I see you, when I see that daughter, that child, when I see them, I see them as righteous. They're valued. They're esteemed. They're heard. You're heard. You're honored. You're in unity with God. You're favored. You're waited for. You're anticipated. You belong. You're never, never, ever alone. You're secure. You're appreciated. You're precious. That's how God sees you. That's how valuable you are in His eyes. Are you going to believe it today? Are you going to stay in the muck? God thinks we're special. He made us special. Thank you.